The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Trying to hide it, I'm cool as ever. She's too
excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. Jersey culture has become such a big part of sports. I know, Chewy, you've done these lists before when we've done power rankings, you know, the top jerseys. It kind of is a barometer for how popular a player can be because so many people are buying their jerseys. And yet there are some people out there that have an issue with jerseys. So yesterday on Unsportsmanlike, our guy Evan Cohen was wearing a Florida Panthers jersey. Evan spent a lot of time down in South Florida, became a fan of the Panthers, so he was wearing the jersey to support the team that just won the Stanley Cup on Unsportsmanlike yesterday. However, apparently ESPN's Jeff Darlington had an issue, so then he was pressed and had to come up with jersey rules, and here is what he came up with.
Because I also subscribe that grown men should not be wearing the names of other men on their back. But that's
Wait a minute. Then you're okay with this. It has no name on the back of the jersey. Wait, but Jeff Darlington, this is interesting. Go ahead, explain this take.
Still a sports jersey. I shouldn't be going down this road. This is my demo. I should not be criticizing the people who wear sports jerseys. They pay my bills.
But
I generally think the sports jerseys should be reserved for the people who are playing the game and children.
What is the age you can no longer wear a jersey?
I don't like where I'm going with this. It's too early. I was up very late because of the game. I don't know that I should be delivering hot takes right now. What is the age?
Jeff does it 18? Where he says he shouldn't do it and then does it after. This is great. So 18. So Jeff Darlington's jersey rules are at 8 on your 18th birthday. You are legal for some things. You're illegal for jerseys.
Mm. Yeah, like basically what I'm saying is you should not be allowed to wear a sports jersey into a strip club. Is that what we're saying?
Interesting way to go with that. You go 18 is when you become voting, so you know. But Darlington decided to go with 18 in strip club. So here we are. But Chewy, do you have an issue? Do you have any issue with people who wear jerseys?
Well, Gabe, from a guy that made pretty good amount of money from people that wore my jersey,
sure,
I would say no. Keep buying it if you want. Have at it. You know, I wish I had a number for you where you could call and order some. So no, I have absolutely no issue whatsoever. Look, wear what you want. It's the big deal. You're showing pride in your team.
Yeah.
I don't think it's weird. Do you?
No, I think it's become like such a big part. I mean, if you go to a Packers game, I mean, what percent? Is it going to be over 50% are wearing jerseys? Probably a little less than that, maybe. But it's right around 50% that I think are wearing jerseys. And a lot of
now, if I was to buy a jersey, and I've said this before on the show, I would not go with the most popular player.
Okay.
Like, if I was to get a jersey of the current Packers, mm-hmm, do you remember whose jersey I would want?
Jersey that Chewy would want of the current crop of Packers. You want a Zach Tom jersey?
Zach Tom. I love Zach Tom. Zach Tom's a lot like I was. Late pick, grinder, worked his way up, became a very good player. People love him, keeps his mouth shut, does his work, lunch pail type of guy. That's the kind of jersey I would wear. Who would you wear?
Ooh. That's a great question. So
you had Sterling. You said Sterling was your favorite back in the
Sterling,
day. You had a Sterling.
Sterling was my first jersey ever. Like when I was a kid, I remember my parents around Christmas time asking me like what I wanted. And I said I wanted a Sterling Sharp jersey. They couldn't find it. This would have been like 92 or 93. It had to have been 93 mm-hmm, because all they could find were Brett or Reggie jerseys. And then the following Christmas in 1994, I got my first jersey ever. And it was a Sterling Sharp jersey. And now I have a Sterling Sharp jersey hanging in my house. My mom, what she wanted, at first she's like, oh, I could frame that jersey that you have. Like, Mom, that thing is so ratty. I still have it. Like, I won't get rid of it. I don't think it would fit. I could try wearing it in, but it is just so ratty and worn down because I wore that thing all the time as a kid. I'm like, I'm not putting that behind glass. Mm-hmm. Let's just get a regular Sterling Sharp jersey and we can frame that as just like a memory of this is what you did for me as a kid. So I have that jersey with a signed photo from Sterling up in the house. But if I had to pick a jersey right now from the Packers, because I used to be a big jersey guy, I haven't bought one in a while. Again, but if you want to, go for it, man. Like, that's what you want to do. I probably want Dontavian Wicks. And I understand that there's a risk. Like, if you're getting any one of the top six pass catchers, the two tight ends, the four wide receivers, you're kind of projecting out a little bit. You're taking a bit of a risk because not all six of them are going to be locked into contracts for the Packers for the next six, seven, 8 years. You kind of have to project out. And I think Dontavian Wicks is my guy that I want to put my money behind in terms of that guy is going to be one of the ones that's going to be sticking around for a while.
Joshy, who would you go with?
I'm a big Wicks guy, so I'm right there with Gabe. Looking across like the defense, I think like an Edger and Cooper probably would be something worth getting. I don't know about Rashawn Gary. Any of the, like, I don't know if it's good to invest in the rookies because you got to look for the guy that is going to have, you know, a decent career. Eric Stokes has got a lot to prove. Carrington Valentine, he's still got a lot to prove, but at least he's shown the ability to play. But, I mean, the offensive guys are kind of where you always want to. I'd love a Zach Tom. I'm a big Zach Tom guy along with you, Chewy. I think a Jaden Reed is probably very, very solid as well.
I feel like he's the safest bet.
Yeah, I would say it's safer on the offensive side of the ball than the defensive side of the ball because even like Jair is still a little bit of a wild card because if things go a little south, I don't know if he's on his last leg. I know things were said during that exit meeting with him. I believe he was told to shape up or ship out. So who would be the safest guy on defense? McKinney right now?
McKinney would be the safest one because they just gave him a bunch of money. Like, Kenny Clark has been that guy, too. If, like, if you wanted a defensive jersey like a decade and Kenny's plus. Kenny's been around for a while now. But Kenny's not safe anymore. He's going into the last year of his contract with zero rumors reporting anything about any sort of contract extension for him.
You know what might be a good futures bet is a Carl Brooks.
Yeah, like if you're going young defensively. Would you run the risk with a Lucas Van Ness?
That's a solid one.
I mean, he was a first round pick,
though. It's a little risky.
Like, because I think McKinney's the safest with Gary after, because I still see a little bit of risk with Rashawn Gary, because he still needs to continue to develop. He needs to take that final step of getting to double digit sacks. Like, if he goes out there, if Rashawn Gary goes out and has another 8.5, 9 sack season. Are the Packers just going to go, maybe we overspent here and try to look to get out because they have an out in the contract after this year where, I mean, they would have to eat some dead cap, but they could potentially move on either this year or next. Like I'm not projecting that, but I'm just saying I could see that happening. If I want to spend money and invest, because that's what a jersey is. It's an investment. You don't want to buy a jersey and have the guy get shipped out of town or get cut or whatever within the next year because they're expensive. So that's the conversation we're having.
Yeah, but I think Gary gets 2 years. Even if he did have a mega year this year, I think they give him one more. But, he has to have a year because this was the knock on him coming out of Michigan, you know? He was like a top five ESPN 300 recruit
at
Michigan where he really didn't do much. He had motor issues. I mean, let's hope that doesn't carry over to this. I'm not big on the ACL excuse because there's plenty of guys that have done it.
Well, especially because
played well a year after.
Well, because he was productive early in the season, so it seemed like you had a couple of three sack games. Okay, we can not have to worry about the ACL, and then he trailed off. As Jordan Love got hot, Rashawn Gary did not, and he trailed off.
Yeah. See, where I'm going to be watching him, Gabe, it's not against the pass, it's against the rush. You know why? Because stopping the rush is hard, right? From a tight end standpoint, you know what's easy? Going out for passes. That's easy. You know what's tough? Having a single block of 300-pound D lineman. That's when you got to dig down deep, you know, into your core and get the job done against a bigger, stronger type guy.
That's
my concern.
Chef Ed chiming in, 800-990-3776 on our talk and text line. He has a Packers, Bucks, and Brewers jersey with Chef Ed on the back. He wants to know if he's a tool.
No. I think that's cool. No. Not at all.
I've seen a lot of those. I feel like Brewers games, I've seen more and more. like personalized jerseys.
See, I like the old school, you know?
Like,
I like
what do
old
you mean?
School, like. I like the Hornings and the Stars.
Okay, yeah. I mean, those.
And the Jerry Kramer.
Like, the timeless ones.
Reggie White.
The timeless ones.
Yeah.
Reggie White.
Well, to
I
that.
You never had a Brett Favre jersey?
Oh, yeah. I had a Brett Favre jersey. Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Sterling
Joshy,
is just the
you
first
ever have. Joshy, you ever have old school jersey?
I mean, I think I had a Brett Favre. No, I had an Antonio Freeman.
Yeah.
But he was playing at the time.
Okay.
But I think I wore that one out so much it was basically like an unusable rag after after it. But I was never more proud than to wear that jersey than after the catch from the ground after that game.
Oh, the Minnesota game?
Oh, wearing that into Clarendon Elementary School in Muguanago. Whew, I was flying high. What a big day.
Did you stay up and see that?
Oh, yeah. It's all live. Yeah.
Going into middle
Don't
school.
Ask me.
That's that was in your probably in your pouting phase.
Yeah, probably.
Your NFL
right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't believe that the league was playing games.
How are they still playing football when I'm not even in the league? It's ridiculous. It's supposed to fold.
How did this whole thing not fall apart without me?
Yeah.
Alan Kohler saying he's purchased 3 jerseys in the last 5 years. Mark Chmura, Aaron Kampman, and Bryce Popp.
Oh, I love them. Bryce Popp's a solid one. How don't people know Bryce Popp?
Because he wasn't he won his defensive player of the year with Buffalo
with
the year after he left.
I know.
Like he was getting good in his time and then he exploded after he left.
I wonder if Ron regrets not keeping him. Could you imagine Reggie White and Bryce Popp in their heyday? Because Bryce
LeRoy.
Won. Bryce won that MVP soon after he left Green Bay.
I think it was the following year.
Was it the first year?
I think it was.
Imagine that combination.
Oof. You guys might not have lost a game in 96.
I guess we didn't really need him, though. I mean, when you're number one, right?
Yeah, right.
I remember my dad having a Mark Chmura jersey in the mid-90s. Wore that thing for pretty much every game.
Oh, I love seeing Chewy jerseys in the wild still today. Like, I would be willing to bet.
Yeah,
because
know.
Summerfest is just the ground zero
fest.
For weird, random jerseys. It was one of my favorite things when I was doing the afternoon show with Homer, and we'd be out there for every day of Summerfest, just seeing all the different weird jerseys. Like, you'll see one. Like, last year, I saw a Chewy jersey in the wild. I think I sent the picture to everybody during the River West 24.
Mm-hmm.
Up in River West, they do a 24-hour bike race, and there was somebody that went by the house, my friend's house, and, wearing a Chewy jersey. It was awesome.
You know what's deflating, Gabe? You know what's deflating?
What's that?
When I see it, and it's like, oh, please be me, please be me. Robert Ferguson, are you kidding me?
Mercedes Lewis, what are you, what a joke.
What the hell? Yeah, it's a little deflating.
But you're excited when it is you, though.
Oh yeah.
When you see that 89. Oh, I've honestly wanted to track one down. I haven't been able to I need to get more serious.
I go to Goodwill.
Easy to find. I've been looking in the wrong places, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
Just gotta go to Goodwill and try to figure it out.
I see one right here. $35 on eBay. $48 on eBay.
Okay.
Oh.
There's a lot out there. And there's even some autographed versions.
Is it the cheap one or is it the good, the game type
Some
one.
Of them depend. Some of them are like the real quality. Some of them are just the like printed
the old
on.
Champion printed on, not super high quality.
Whatever happened to the one they had in the old station? I mean, that was a game worn diaper. The diaper was on it.
I have no idea.
What the hell they ever do with that?
I don't know if we gave it away as a prize.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not a memorabilia guy, though. I just,
Well, again, I think that's different because you're a player, right? Like, it's different. I understand if you wanted to go, hey, go wear whatever you want. I'm never wearing a jersey because I wore one in the league. Like, I feel that is an appropriate, feel that's an appropriate response for somebody who played
NFL
for 9 years.
From my standpoint, Gabe, the memorabilia that I have from years of playing, I like the pictures of me and the guys outside of the facility. Those are the cool ones.
Yeah.
I think those are cool.
Like, I mean, your memorabilia is a Super Bowl ring, man. Like, once you have one of those that you won
That's
and earned,
need.
Like, yeah, everything else, like, you're signed football of, you know, whoever. You're signed Robert Brooks football. It's just not as cool anymore.
And I think it was 2000 at Champs Americana, we won a signed helmet by all the 97 players. So we got Chewy on it, we got Brett on it, we got Reggie on it. That's like the one thing that I think is actually really cool, because I don't really spend money on memorabilia. Mm-hmm. It's just like putting stuff, first of all, I don't have the house to just be hanging stuff up. But a lot of athletes have now in recent days gone into the jersey swap thing, which really didn't exist when you played. Yeah. But you'll see some of their houses and they'll have just walls and walls and walls of like all their favorite players from the league.
Yeah, because they used to charge us for it.
I'm willing to bet that they still charge now.
I would bet some franchises do. I would think some others have just moved past that.
That they just factor
in. Like if we gave a ball to someone in the stands or threw it up there, that's $75 payroll deduct.
What if Holmgren gave you a game ball? Who's paying for that? Like after the game, you played well, you got a game ball.
They don't do that. They would give us that on Monday. They wouldn't. They would tell us we're getting it because they do a nice job. They would panel it. You know how you panel it, you paint it and stuff like that. And it would say the game you played, your stats. It's pretty cool. I have those.
Well,
this
is the difference between your memorabilia and our memorabilia. Your memorabilia is from, playing the game and doing it at a high level.
Sure.
Tune in to the Thanalysis Show every week. Bucks player Thanasis Adetokounmpo sits down with special guests to have fun and honest conversations. Conversations with NBA stars Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, of course, did the live episode with his brother Giannis. Basketball media royalty like Jay Williams did the episode with Stephen A. Smith. And that's just a handful of the lists of the guests that are part of season 2 of Thanalysis. Find Thanalysis Show today, Apple, Spotify, or anywhere else you get your podcasts, and subscribe to the Thanalysis Show YouTube channel for accompanying videos and special content.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You want more physical harm beset upon people who are trying to earn a living.
I want winners. If someone has to die in order for us to win, then that's the price you pay.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Our boy Joshy only has about a half hour left before he hits an 11-day vacation. Some of which he's spending down in an all-inclusive resort for a wedding down in Cabo. Now, I've never done the all-inclusive resort. I've never gone down to Mexico. But the big guy has. And you are imparting some words of wisdom, Chewy, about some of the negative things and some of the things to avoid. If you want to hear that, listen to hour one of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, wherever you get your podcasts, WisconsinOnDemand.com as well. What else should Joshy be looking out for? Like, what other tips do you have for Josh as he gets ready to go down for this all-inclusive trip?
It's all about value, Josh. You got to gorge. Do not be afraid to use room service whenever. Okay? Breakfast. Mm-hmm. You don't feel like, getting up, putting clothes on, walking over to breakfast? Room service. Room service at night. That's great value. The booze. Okay? Get the high-end stuff. Don't be afraid to order two entrees. You can order as much as you want. It's all-inclusive. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
My plan is to try and recuperate as much of the money as I spent on the resort via room service and beers.
Yeah,
because I'm gonna stay away from the probably the mixed drinks, but shots of tequila, that type of stuff. That's my one plan that I've set out for sure. Where would we put in terms of tips, realizing, maybe 40 minutes ago that I had booked the flight for the wrong day and had to change it while I was on the radio show?
Excuse me?
You booked the wrong flight on the wrong day?
You sure did.
So you're not leaving tomorrow?
No, I am.
I just had to pay a little more for it?
It was $40.
All right, not a big deal. That's okay. Not terrible.
Joshy.
I didn't get a boarding position yet, so I'm going to have to call and try and figure that out. But yeah, that was something that I realized when I went to do the old check-in, figuring, hey, let's just get this, knock this out. Yeah, no, wrong day.
Joshy,
that's
another
horrifying.
Thing is tip,
yeah.
Another thing is tip early. Do not tip on the back end. Because the bartenders will ignore you. If you tip them right out of the gate, whoever you're tipping, bartender's going to tell his buddy, he's going to say, hey, he just tipped us, and they will take care of you. So when the bar gets full 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, they'll see you, and they'll bypass the people that were there before you and come right to you. Good advice.
Yeah, that's...
Excursions. Stay, Josh, away from excursions.
Yeah.
You don't need to do excursions.
There's one thing that might be happening that will be booked by the bride and groom as like a portion that would be on Sunday. But other than that, I don't really plan to do much else besides be at the pool and beach the entire time.
One other thing, Gabe, sorry.
No, go for it.
They're going to I'm sure that this all inclusive has a timeshare ability to it. Do not do it. They're going to say, we'll give you free this, free that. They're going to keep you occupied for 4 or 5 hours, which is going to detract from you all-inclusivizing. Okay? Don't do it.
Yeah. I've heard about the timeshare thing. Will not ever be engaged in that. I just generally treat anything you're offering me, I think there's some hook that is not going to be worth my time or effort. So
good way to approach.
Josh has one goal,
good.
And he's got one thing in mind. I don't even know how, you know, because these aren't even, are these your friends? Are they her friends?
They're not my friends.
Okay.
I'm friendly with them.
Sure.
I know them. I do have some friends, like old-time friends, that will also be in attendance. So it's not going to be completely people I don't know. But I'm going to know like 6 people there.
Yeah, Josh has one goal and one goal only.
Uh-huh.
It's enjoy the water and enjoy the drinks.
Yeah. Uh-huh. One other thing, Joshy. It's okay to, I drink alone. Yeah, I drink alone. Find yourself a bar that's kind of out in the bushes. Great place. You'll meet some interesting people. If you need a little getaway. Nothing wrong with that.
I have fully... because my girlfriend is going to be busy with some wedding duties that I'm just not a part of at all, I'm going to be doing a lot of me time, drinking, reading, doing stuff. Because I get up still early.
Yeah.
And it's going to be even earlier in Mexico, so I'm going to have to try and push that through. So I'm just going to be at the pool like as early as I possibly can, because like, what else am I going to do? Sit in the room while everyone else sleeps? No way. I'm out there.
Got to get that money's back. You got to get that money's worth. Got to get that money back.
Mm-hmm.
We get the latest on the Milwaukee Brewers. Sophia Minert joins us next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
From the latest happenings on the diamond.
They've obviously taken their hits at times, but I think Freddie Peralta has been so steady. Colin Ray, same thing.
To all the insight and expertise on things outside the ballpark.
And he does it so unorthodox. Like, he'll change his batting stance, like, within an at-bat or at-bat to at-bat. Like, it's insane. Like, it defies kind of everything that you hear from players.
We only turn to one person. Batter up. It's Sophia Minert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Century Foods. Win the ultimate baseball fan experience at Century Foods. Return the entry form found in the weekly ad to any Century by July 24th. Century Foods, the best meat in town. Also brought to you by Two Men in a Junk Truck. From unwanted furniture to full-service residential and commercial cleanouts, go to twomeninajunktruck.com to book your free, no-obligation, same-day estimate.
Brewers still in first place. Had a little bit of a bump out there in San Diego, but they've bounced back nicely. They've won 3 in a row, 47-33, as we reach the midpoint of the season today. They're wrapping up the series against the Rangers at American Family Field. To help us break it down, we welcome in Sophia Minert. Sophia, always appreciate you sharing some time and talking about the hot Milwaukee Brewers.
Thanks. Yeah, it's a happy halfway point, game 81. I don't even know how we got here, but here we are.
But here we are, and the Brewers are in first place.
Here we are.
Everybody's excited. Everybody's happy. So last night, another great performance from Bryce Wilson. Why has he thrived in that? He's eating innings, but he's not a starter because they typically go with the opener before him. Why is he thriving in that role?
You know, I think we're all trying to find the answer to that. And we asked him about it last night. He says the right things, and I don't think he's deceiving us at all. It's like he tries to go out there with the same approach, whether he's starting or coming out of the bullpen, the opener, which they've done a couple times with Jared Koenig, and then last night it was Hobie Milner for the first time. You know, he says he goes about it the same way, but for whatever reason, you know, with the opener, and maybe it's, you know, again, this is why they go with the opener, is to create these favorable matchups for the long relief guy, like Bryce Wilson. So maybe there is something to that, of like the matchups are working out for him. I think last night specifically, easily one of his best appearances of the season. He's gone six innings two other times before in the season, but he was just so efficient. He didn't have any walks. That's been a trouble spot for him. That was definitely a factor in his last start against the Padres. He didn't have more than 16 pitches in an inning. It was just like he was very much in rhythm, attacking, a lot of strikes, quality strikes. Everything was really competitive. They were aggressive. I just think everything kind of lined up for him. He got great defense behind him, which he always does. So, yeah, I think it's been working for him. And so I think he's obviously stretched out enough that he can start the game. But man, it also really shortens the game. When you get two innings from Hobie Milner, he gives you six great innings, and then you can turn it over to Elvis Figueroa. So it all worked out last night kind of how they would have wanted it to.
Sophia, how big of a deal is it in the Brewers acquiring Dallas Keuchel?
Yeah, that was definitely the big news yesterday. Look, I think what Dallas brings is obviously a ton of experience. He's been in the league for 12 years, hasn't pitched in the majors this year, but he's checked all the boxes of what a pitcher can do in the league. You know, Cy Young Award winner in 2015, an All-Star, Gold Glove Award winner, a World Series champion, pitched a lot in the postseason, has had success, but he's also dealt with some adversity over the last couple of years, of whether it's, you know, injuries, bad performance, just not able to really figure things out. He is 36 years old now, but, you know, when we talked to him last night after the game, he had just gotten in and go through the physical and meet everybody. He seems really invigorated. You know, he was pitching really well in AAA in the Seattle Mariners organization in Tacoma. His last five starts have been even better. He's only given up five earned runs in those games. And, you know, he says that, like, he's gone through things physically, he's gone through things mentally, the doubt starts to creep in, you overcome those things, and, you know, he still feels like he can get it done at this level. So the Brewers are giving him an opportunity. There's obviously a huge need there. Just for innings, healthy arms, just all of it, considering how things have gone for the pitching staff. So I'm excited to see kind of what he does with the opportunity. And again, this is a guy who's done everything and has great experience. So we'll see what kind of lift he can give this team.
So we sit here at just about the halfway point, Sophia. Brewers are in first place by a solid amount. They have the third best record in the National League. And I mean, one of the things that the baseball media does now is, okay, halfway, you know, MVP, Cy Young, Rookie of the Year, all these different awards they're giving out at the halfway point. And you're not going to really see a lot of Brewer names being mentioned for this. So how do you explain the Brewers being 47-33 and they have a 5.5 game lead here basically at the midway point?
It's funny because that is the question we get from pretty much every team when we're on the road. I'm not even kidding. Like, every team that we go to, like, you know, the other announcers or media around the team, they come in and they ask Pat Murphy in our daily media sessions with him, like, how are you doing this? Like, because you look, and Pat Murphy will say that too. It's, they have done an excellent job of, you know, first of all, their depth has been tested to the limit. So I think this is a credit to the front office of, like, despite all of that, they still have people coming up and performing from unexpected places. I would point to people like Jared Koenig and Brian Hudson, You could even put Joey Ortiz on that list, right? Of you think about these players coming in spring training, you think about what you thought the starting rotation was going to look like. I think, knock on wood here, that the position player group has stayed relatively healthy. They haven't had to absorb any significant injuries yet. But it's been depth. It's been unexpected performances. It's been a really consistent offense. It's been excellent defense. And Murph has really instilled in this group, I think, like the right mentality for this team, which has just been, do your job to win tonight. And he's doing, he and the coaching staff have done an unbelievable job of putting the players in the position to do that. He's giving them the freedom to just like go out and compete and be hungry and be themselves. And he's also kind of really instilled this like kind of underdog mentality of, hey, we know on paper, like people don't think we're good. Like, he'll say this publicly to everyone. We know that on paper, like we're not supposed to be good. We know that we're quote unquote surprising people. We know that people think that National League Central is a down division, right? Whatever the national media wants to put out there is the narrative. And I think he's just sort of feeding that of like, hey, it's kind of the why not us, it's like at this point, halfway through the season, like you've got to acknowledge, like this is not just a streak, right? This team has really proven that it's resilient and competitive. So I don't know. I think it's been really fun to watch that unfold.
Oh, they're such a fun team to watch. Like I'll be out at the game today. I can't wait to watch. And I think that this team is an example, Sophia, of the new rules that were put in place last year working. Because part of those rules, everybody wants to talk about the pitch clock, but part of those rules was the expanding of bases. The Brewers have the most stolen bases in all of baseball. They're an aggressive team. They're an athletic team. And now you can win with more than just one style of baseball. Before, under the old rules, it was everybody kind of sitting back waiting to hit the big three-run homer. Now the Brewers, they don't have a ton of power. They have some, sure. They don't have a ton of power, so they're pushing the issues on the base paths. It's resulted in some outs, yes, but it's resulted in a lot of good things for this team, I think, overall.
No, I think you're absolutely right, and I do think part of that is, like, again, you've got to go back to the front office and the coaching staff of the roster that was put together. Like, now we've talked about this. This is probably one of the most athletic teams that this organization has had in a long time, right? So when you're talking about being aggressive on the base paths, when you're talking about the excellent defense, when you're talking about the outfield defense, right? When you're talking about speed, I mean, these guys are incredibly athletic. I mean, you've got speed and power pretty much up and down the lineup. The Brewers are the only team in baseball right now that have 80 plus home runs and 80 plus stolen bases. So like to your point, yes, are they taking advantage of the rules? Sure, of course. But that's because like their personnel and the roster allows them to do that, right? This is the group that they have. And also this is a group that, they have to win games differently. So yes, there's going to be outs on the bases sometimes, but more often than not, they're going to get the bag. They're going to, make the play. Obviously risk and reward, you're weighing that all the time. But they're trying to find every margin to be able to win these games and win series. And that's what ultimately puts you in the position that they are in the first half. So, it really is like a top-down philosophy of, like, how this team was put together. Also, players coming into their own, right? Like, the player that Bryce Turang is this year compared to what we saw from him in his rookie season, not even comparable, right? And then, Joey Ortiz, what a player he has turned into, getting an everyday opportunity. We have not seen enough of T.L. Hall yet. Hopefully he's coming back very soon. Like you think about the trade in the offseason, what a huge storyline that was, losing Corbin Burnes. And again, all the injuries, like Tobias Myers comes out of essentially Double-A, and he has a chance now to win National League Pitcher of the Month for what he did in June. So it's been, unexpected players stepping up and taking advantage of their opportunity. And it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun to watch.
So you mentioned the one question that you get asked, and Murphy gets asked every time you guys go on the road. The one question I get asked anytime I'm hanging out with people and the Brewers come up, what are they going to do when Garrett Mitchell comes up? Because, you know, Sal's had his moments. Blake Perkins has had his moments. You know, obviously Christian, and I would say especially the way Jackson Chourio has been playing recently, they're not going anywhere. What are they going to do when Garrett's ready to come out of the minor rehab assignment and join the club at the big league level for the first time this year?
Yeah, and he's definitely getting close. He's been down in AAA for 2 weeks. We have also asked that question of, you know, when is Garrett coming back, and how does this work, Murph, of putting the roster together? And I think, I don't know when they're going to make that move. I do think Garrett is very close. It could be within the next week or so. And in terms of the corresponding move, you know, I don't know how they're going to piece it together because, like you said, there's no obvious odd man out. You obviously don't hope for an injury for anybody. And I do think Garrett initially might not be in the lineup every day. So it might still be a platoon situation. They've juggled this kind of pieces before. You know, you can use his speed off of the bench. You could make a move with one of the utility infielders. So I don't know. They always figure these things out, and every time we think, like, it's never going to work, they figure out a way to make it work. So I think the most important thing for Garrett is that he's healthy, he's playing well in Nashville, he's getting, you know, the reps that he needs, essentially building up after missing 2+ months. So he will be ready to go. I'm just not sure that he'll be ready to go every day in the lineup. And again, it's like, the outfield defense has been excellent. Blake Perkins has been excellent in center field. Yelly's going to continue to be out there every day. He might be DHing more. Reese Hoskins will still get DH days. And then, you know, you've got Sal and Jackson who have been great too. So it'll all work out. I don't know how, but it will.
Just got to trust Sophia on that one. Sophia, we certainly appreciate the time. Enjoy the ballpark today as the Brewers go for the sweep of the Texas Rangers.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Sophia Minert joins us every Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Certainly that is said. I'm really curious to see what they do with Garrett Mitchell. But again, we'll have to wait and see. Brewers do have an off day tomorrow. Who knows? Maybe he ends up getting called up before the Cubs series. Just got to be patient on that one. We'll see what we've got on the polls. That's coming up next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I thought Salvation Army. That they hear their name when it's non-scheduled, that's what they want to hear.
I could hear Ashley laughing in the background.
Am I right or wrong?
He's not wrong. Hey, he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
He is wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Joshy, I want to commend you, bud. On the eve of an 11-day vacation, I would have incredible senioritis. Like, I would be so ready to be checked out. And, I think, right, Chu? Like, he kept it together today.
Yeah, no, he's solid. Bringing
right?
value.
It is partially when on Scalzo and Brust, RIP to that show, it was a lot harder because it was the end of the day.
Yeah.
But I've still got stuff to, like, accomplish before, you know, you fully can go on vacation.
Before you just deuce out.
Right. So I've got things to do yet today. I mean, nothing as critical as the flight change that I had to make. But, like, I got to go to the bank.
You realized that this morning?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right before Adam Schefter joined.
But Gabe, have you ever known Joshy to get too high or too low? He just stays right.
You should be with Joshy, you know, around midnight after he's been out all day.
Yeah, but that's like getting the good high, and I don't mean literally high on illicit drugs.
Yeah, no, just the high of being out with your pals,
yeah,
having a couple suds with your butts.
I have had issues before with people thinking I wasn't interested in something just because my approach doesn't
demeanor.
Really change. Yeah, my demeanor isn't very excitable generally. I could get worked up. Some of it a lot of the time is performative just because I think it's fun and to mess with people, but I keep her pretty even.
Yeah, but would you say in the last year, the most excitable you got was when your neighbor almost burned the house down?
Yeah, by far. Yeah.
Or were you like,
well, because
I'll get it. Don't worry about it. I'll get it.
So again, a peek behind the curtain here. There are very few things that actually matter to Josh. Like, he's, you know, he just is who he is. And a lot of times he likes to get a rise out of people. But he actually jumped into action there. Like, he actually cared to stop somebody's house from burning down.
He's I think that's a fair place.
Yeah, I think that's a fair. If you're going to start caring about something, I feel that is the appropriate time to jump in and care. Like, I mean, Josh cares about the Packers. Like, we've done, we did the watch-alongs that we did during the playoffs, and it's important to you in the moment, but it's not like ruining the rest of your day or weekend.
No, very few things can ruin more than a couple hours for me.
Like,
well,
if you're
the council thing didn't bode too well. You were pretty upset at that.
Yeah,
which I thought was funny.
If your luggage, I'm not in, you know, because this happened to me last time I took a big trip, but I don't think it ruined my trip, and I don't think it would ruin yours. If some of your luggage did not arrive in Mexico, you'd still be fine.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I plan to bring a few things just in case things go wrong.
Yeah, like in a carry-on.
That I'm going to have in my carry-on. I think I'm just going to carry on my suit as, like, my personal item, because you can have the backpack and personal item, so I'm just going to have it wrapped up, obviously, in the travel. And other than that, what else is...
You're going to be an all-inclusive with sun, water, and booze. Like, you'll be fine.
I got the shirt on my back, the pants and shoes on my feet. I don't need much else.
By the way, right now...
I'm sure there's a section where there's a nude part of the resort, so you'll be all right. You're good.
If you're going four-night, five-day vacation like Joshy, how many pairs of underwear? 7 to 8, the leader in the clubhouse. 57.4. Vote on that at Jen Gabe Chewy on Twitter. Will the Intouch coming up next.